broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is February 26, 2022. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are sitting on the precipice of World War III. Or are we? Exactly what is going on in Ukraine? And I have to say, I for one am not exactly sure. There's so much spin and propaganda, you know, flying around on both sides. It's really hard to get a feel as to what is really going on here. But I don't see any evidence of a real invasion. Not in the classical sense of the word. I mean, it could be, but I just don't see enough evidence yet to reach that conclusion for certain. And, you know, it's pretty funny. I was watching some clips of the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media news, and they had one reporter there reporting live from I'm not sure which city, one of the major cities there in Ukraine. And he was complaining about not being able to find a restaurant to have lunch at. That doesn't really strike fear in the hearts of man. Oh, God, there's no restaurants open. My God. It sort of shows how tone deaf these reporters really are. You know, like there was no Cabernet. They only had Merlot at the restaurant. It's outrageous. Yeah. But I have to admit, what is happening now is certainly more than I expected. Absolutely. You know, I thought there'd be some skirmishes. you know, in the two breakaway regions of Ukraine, but not a full-on, you know, sort of move on possibly toppling the government. We'll see. It's not even clear that that's the objective yet. Yeah, a lot of propaganda flying around on both sides, guys. That's strange. There's this noise that just started right when I began my show, like this sort of tone, like a high-pitched hum. Not that I'm paranoid, but it is strange. It's kind of loud, too. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Maybe the Illuminati is sending signals after me. Who knows? No, but seriously. And, you know, another interesting thing here about this, you know, Ukraine situation is that all of a sudden the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media is very concerned about civilian casualties, which, you know, it's reasonable, of course. But after 20 years of pointless wars in the Middle East, all built upon, you know, this false premise of terrorism and, you know, smart bombs, right? 20 years of smart bombs. All of a sudden now, they're worried about civilian casualties. And, you know, in the very height of hypocrisy, George W. Bush, of all people, is condemning Russia's aggression. The man who launched, what, 2 20-year wars? My God. So, yeah, we heard, you know, about smart bombs and precision strikes for 20 years, minimizing, you know, the civilian carnage. And, you know, carnage that probably reached into the millions in Iraq alone. And I think that's according to Red Cross numbers. Over 1 million people, civilians, died in Iraq. It really is unbelievable. And, guys, remember, shock and awe? Shock and awe. That was really just a promotional campaign to sell the carpet bombing of Baghdad. Truly horrendous when you think about it. I mean, the hypocrisy is really amazing, having the mainstream media act as nothing more than cheerleaders for war for over 20 years. And now they're worried about civilian casualties, which, of course, I mean, you know, I can't be a cheerleader for this war more than any other one, quite frankly. But what's interesting, though, is that the images they're using to promote all of these civilian casualties, they're pretty sparse. They're showing the same couple of images over and over, all the different channels. You know, most notably, there's that sort of this kind of older lady with gray hair and a bandage on her head with some blood on her face. That image is going everywhere. And if there really is widespread civilian death, I think they'd show more than this one woman. So that's suspicious. And then they keep showing the same apartment building that was damaged supposedly by a Russian airstrike. And there's some disagreement about exactly what happened there. And again, this is where this war propaganda on both sides comes in, you know. But yeah, there's only a couple of images and they keep showing them over and over. But of course, repetition is the very soul of propaganda, is it not? But guys, the thing that I find most disturbing about this conflict is the timing. The timing is suspicious at best. I mean, at the very moment that the COVID narrative was unraveling like a cheap sweater, at that very moment, we go into a new narrative, don't we? At the very moment where, you know, governments around the world in unison were sort of suddenly removing COVID restrictions and declaring that, well, COVID will be with us forever. We're going to have to learn how to live with it. You know, quite a shift in attitude after 2 years. 2 years of medical doom porn. Take the shot or you're going to die. 2 years of that. Now all of a sudden, hey, it's no big deal. You know, we're just going to have to learn to live with it. You know, it's a bad case of the sniffles. Learn to live with it, guys. So the, you know, the about face on the COVID agenda, which was really, let's be honest, the COVID agenda was sort of unparalleled in kind of getting the entire world to dance to the same tune. All of a sudden, hey, it's no big deal. Learn to live with COVID. Amazing. And at that very moment, the Ukrainian theater opens up in full force. And theater might be a very good choice of words. Very possibly. Yeah. But, you know, it's almost like somebody flicked a light switch. You know, they flicked the COVID switch to off and then turned the Ukrainian conflict switch to on. I mean, it really was that sudden, wasn't it? So I think that's something that's really, really important before we get all caught up in, well, Putin's a liberating, you know, Ukraine, or Putin is a monster, you know, or whatever, you know. We're supposed to think about Vladimir Putin, which is really a very complicated question in many ways. There's no easy answer there. And it really does seem to me like every one of the so-called world leaders has the talons of this international banking cabal, you know, into them somehow, to some degree or another. I think they're all on a leash. Some are on a little longer leash than others, but I think all of these so-called world leaders have the talons of this cabal into their, you know, bodies, let's say. So yeah, one crisis is turned off and a new one is turned on simultaneously. And of course, we have one crisis after another, don't we, guys? And this is just the beginning. So get ready for a world of crisis. And of course, that is the key to controlling the population, isn't it? Keeping them in perpetual fear, a state of fear. And that was the title of Michael Crichton's last novel before he suddenly got cancer. I'm not saying they gave him cancer, but that book was about precisely what we're talking about right now. You know, a government using a state of fear for control. Crichton may have gone off the reservation a little too far. Who knows? So yeah, guys, we really don't know what is going on in Ukraine yet. We don't. And there's a lot of speculation that Putin intends to divide Ukraine along that river. I think I'm going to butcher this, the Dnieper River or Dnieper River, whatever, that river that kind of divides, the eastern quarter of the country. And that would sort of give a buffer, you know, away from NATO. You know, along the entirety of the border. That kind of makes sense, but who knows? We really are in uncharted territory. And I just find it strange that there's so little footage of anything that's actually going on there. I mean, there's little, you know, 5-10 second clips from, you know, Twitter feeds and other things like that, but no real proof that, you know, the Russians have moved in with, you know, boots on the ground in any significant way. We're just told that, but I'm not seeing absolute proof of it. And they've certainly brought in air strikes and some tanks, but it's quite mysterious, isn't it? I mean, you know, it just shows you how little we can rely on the enemy war transmissions to tell us anything. But one thing's for sure, if Russia does take down Ukraine, like some people are speculating, within the next few days. It will certainly send a shockwave of fear through the militaries of the Western world, and in NATO particular, and in NATO for sure. Certainly amongst the people that would actually have to go fight against the Russian juggernaut, you know, as our military are stacked with, you know, trannies and weirdos, people in skirts and high heels and makeup at the top of the food chain. You know, you can say what you want about Putin, but the Russian military has not done that, not anything close to it. And it's amazing how they've tried to sort of transform, good choice of words there, transform the American military into some kind of social justice institution. And you don't have to be a military genius to figure out that that is contrary to the mission of a military. The mission of a military is to kill the enemy. That's really about it, isn't it? So, yeah, you know, they can shoot their mouths off all they want about how awful Russia is, but I think we're going to see a different tone, at least amongst the people that will have to do the fighting. And, you know, I saw a brief interview with this Jens Stoltenberg character, this guy that is, you know, the head of NATO, whatever they call him, the Grand Poobah, the Supreme Commander, whatever his title is. I mean, guys, if this is one of the good guys, we're in big trouble, guys, because this Stoltenberg character, he truly looks reptilian, not only in his eyes. He has those dead snake eyes. But the whole structure of his face, you know, is reptilian. So it makes you wonder about, you know, who's really running the show here. At the very least, this is a very dark character. That's the best case scenario. So, yeah. It's really amazing. And, you know, another thing we shouldn't lose sight of is that, you know, the global controllers have always feared a Russian-German alliance. You can make the argument that that was certainly part of both so-called World War I and World War II. They weren't really world wars in the true sense of the word. They were primarily European wars, Europeans killing each other for the most part. But, yeah, there's been this absolute fear of having Russia and Germany align in any way. And, of course, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline would have certainly cemented such an alliance, you know, at least on a very practical level. Like, hey, yeah, you know, we're buying cheap gas from you guys. Thanks. And let's keep doing business together. So, of course, that's all, you know, off the table, at least for now, even though the pipeline is ready to go. And this idea that somehow, you know, oh, well, America's going to supply all the natural gas that Germany needs and Europe needs. Oh, really? So we're going to do more fracking and then put it on a cargo ship, which we've seen is quite, you know, dodgy about delivery times. And the other factor is that, you know, a lot of the production for natural gas in America is pretty much at capacity. So that's a pipe dream. And, of course, isn't it interesting that, you know, the end result of all this is going to be much higher gas prices, feeding right into the green agenda. We have no choice. We have to go green because we see how problematic a petroleum-based economy is. Let's build more windmills. Yeah, that'll fix it. And, you know, one of the big issues here is that Ukraine had to be free to join NATO. Really? I mean, who cares? And how many people actually want to fight and die for that cause? I mean, that is a pretty esoteric reason to lie your life on the line, isn't it? And it's so funny, you know, the enemy war transmissions that we call the mainstream media or the oligarch media, you know, they really do lie in by changing the definition of words. That's another way they lie to us. They keep referring to Ukraine as part of Europe. It's never been part of Europe, ever. It's always been part of Russia, like it or not. And so they keep referring to it as a European nation. So that alone is just such a massive lie. So I'm just at a point where right now I'm quite cautious about making any absolute declaration as to what's going on there. We really don't know. And it's possible it could all be sort of a scripted event, given the timing. I don't think we can overlook this factor of timing and write it off as a coincidence. And what's the old saying? All the world is a stage. All the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts. So true. Words from Shakespeare. Well, probably not Shakespeare. That's a whole other rabbit hole. Probably someone else wrote those words. So yeah, we have a new narrative to talk about. So instead of the collapsing COVID narrative and the coming, you know, not maybe it's not going to be a death wave, but it's going to be a wave of new maladies and health problems for sure. That's already started, hasn't it? Oh, a new wave of maladies, including AIDS. All of a sudden, AIDS is back in the picture now. After what, 15 years of really not being mentioned hardly at all. Now all of a sudden everybody needs to get an AIDS test. Really? I'll pass. And of course, AIDS really was the introduction of the symptomless disease, wasn't it? Right? The asymptomatic disease. That's the OG version of it, isn't it? You know, oh, you feel fine? Oh, sorry, pal. You have AIDS. You tested positive. Well, the only solution is to take this expensive medication for the rest of your life. And, well, never mind the fact that this medication was designed to make you sick and destroy your immune system. Don't think about that, but take it anyway, because a man in a white coat told you so. The cult of the white coats, or as Blackbird Nine likes to call them, the white coats of Baphomet, which is a keeper. That's a great way to put it. But the cult of the white coats really is beginning to lose all credibility. You know, and as they back down on this, oh, we have to wear masks. You know, I saw a little clip on the news, so-called news, about how, well, let's hear about the science behind this. How, oh, you don't have to wear masks anymore. Here's the science behind it. As though it just magically changes, you know. So, yeah, you could say that Vladimir Putin cured COVID, right? Maybe so. Certainly strange, isn't it? And it's funny how we're supposed to worry, you know, about the borders of Ukraine at all costs and not really be all that concerned about the border of the United States. It's just amazing how they can sort of, you know, switch the attention around the things we're supposed to focus on. And we're supposed to just go along with it, you know, like this puppet on a string. Yeah. Suddenly, Russia is destroying our democracy. Oh, yeah. It's really quite amazing, the game that is being played here, switching narratives and expecting all of us just to go along with it, dancing to the tune that they call. When really, you know, there's so much we should be worrying about right here in the United States. And I'm always shocked how neither side, the left or the right, talks very much about the massive homeless problem in this country right now. And, you know, of course, you can write some of it off to just, you know, people who are mentally ill and drug addicts, sure, but there's also people that just have fallen onto hard times, and we're in a situation where the inflation has become so great in this country that it's going to be used as a weapon to wipe out huge swaths of the middle class. Make no mistake about that. So, yeah, lots of good comments come on here in the chat rooms, both on Revolution Radio and on our Twitch feed. And somehow we're still on Facebook. It's a miracle. Yeah. Yeah. Got to keep the population in doom, Malia EU. Keep the population in doom and fear. That really is the game, isn't it? And we're going to see more crisis unfold. You know, there's no question that the green agenda is going to be pushed as the result of this as gas prices rise. I mean, get ready for $5 and $6 gas. You know, and here's one really creepy moment with Groper Joe talking about how important it is that we defend democracy in Ukraine. We have to defend democracy, and, you know, Joe wants to minimize the pain that Americans are going to feel. You know, Joe is kind of sounding like this S&M dungeon master, you know, going to minimize the pain. Just bizarre, absolutely bizarre. We're supposed to go through pain for Ukraine. Unbelievable. Okay, well, that said, I would like to bring on my main man and my partner in crime, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals, at least for a little longer. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
Well, my brother, I'm living the dream. I actually am now. This has been a remarkable 2 weeks, and great intro, man. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what we haven't, you know, I don't feel any need to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I will bring up as an addendum to your brilliant introduction that we have been saying for over a year that in our discussions that when COVID, now COVIDs, winds down, they're going to do some kind of war, right? We've been saying that and discussing that on and on, but it's surreal to see it happening. And I was laying in bed last night thinking about everything that's going on, and it is just bizarre. This is like Wag the Dog, you know, everything in movies these days is a trilogy. Wag the Dog, the entire trilogy unfolding before us, because it is surreal that the very limited fighting, but the lying globalist media is gaslighting and acting like World War III has begun already, which it has not. And also, they're painting eerily Vlad Putin is the new Hitler, right? I mean, the media and everything is he's the new Hitler-like boogeyman, and he's coming out and saying, got to get rid of Nazis so in the Ukraine. So everything, again, is this Hebrew narrative of, oh, Nazi and Hitler, oh, Holocaust, right? It's so sickening. I'm so tired of it. And thirdly, it's like, what the heck is going on with, the chicken swinging controlled Biden administration? They're just acting very bizarre. I mean, they placed that call to Xi in China, and he essentially just ignored Biden's request to help and gave everything that the U.S. State Department turned over to him right to Putin. So it's like, this is just surreal, man. We called this and now it's happening, and it's just weird, weird, weird.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point you're bringing up about this Nazi narrative.
Nazi.
Real misdirection. Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, there is a small contingency of so-called neo-Nazis in Ukraine. But to say that this conflict is to get rid of the neo-Nazis in the government, well, that's certainly misdirection, isn't it? I mean, Zelensky's Jewish. I saw an interview with the head of cybersecurity for Ukraine, and the guy looked like, you know, Andy Kaufman, you know, the comedian. So, you know, yeah, you just gotta, what's really going on here? I mean, I don't think it's Nazis taking over Ukraine. I mean, and I think you've brought this point up many times that, they, you know, the Israelis kind of see Ukraine as sort of the backup place for Israel. And it really is almost the exact borders of ancient Khazaria.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man, that is deeply disturbing. I mean, you know, we keep saying, over the last several months that literally this is a spiritual war. Everything that's going on is a spiritual war. Actually, for the last century, really, it's Team God, which is Christians and decent people of the world, against Team Devil, which is the Jew, which, you know, there is no, anyway, I'm not going to go on a Jew rant. We do that all the time. But Team Devil, it has really made great inroads in this spiritual war. So the Team Devil is the corporeal operatives are the Rothschild Synagogue of Satan Empire and their minions. And what has gone on in the last century? They've destroyed 80% of all species on this planet. They've put great wounds into nature and poisoned so much of nature, and they've now managed to murder over the last century, you know, hundreds of millions, if not a billion people with Bankster War One, Bankster War Two, all the conflicts. Now they're really emboldened and they're going for their actual plan, which is the terraforming of beautiful Mother Earth and nature into some type of sick, toxic environment that it is populated by transhumans, some type of cyborg nanotech altered human beings and some beasts of burdens, right? There was some soulless, a Jew, traitorous rabbi that came out, I read this week, who said that no goyim should have pets, right? No dogs, you know? I mean, to me, that's number one reason right there to wipe out every traitorous chicken swinger on this planet right there. I'd rather have a loving dog than a parasite Jew any day of the week. And
yeah. Well, I think what he was saying is pets can't own pets. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting on this subject of strange things that rabbis are saying in Israel. You know, Deacon John was reporting, because, you know, he kind of follows some different feeds of, you know, inside Israel.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was saying that there's been a couple of rabbis that have been talking about these gods from under the earth are going to make themselves known, and we should not fear them. They're here to help. So, that's a little strange. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep down the reptilian rabbit hole right now, but when you look at this Jens Stoltenberger character, this, you know, supreme commander, grand poobah of NATO, I mean, this man really looks reptilian. Not only in he's got those snake eyes, those dead sort of soulless eyes, but the whole structure of his face,
really is like a reptile. So, you know, like I was saying, if that's one of the good guys, we're in big trouble, Giuseppe.
Okay, so let's see. So I just did NATO commander, and I got this guy, General Todd Walter. So NATO, is he like the European commander or Supreme Allied?
Jens Stoltenberger, J-E-N-S Stoltenberger, okay, is the guy I saw interviewed. I'm not sure.
Oh, there he is, Jens. Oh, my God. Let's click on this picture. Images. Oh, my God. Let's bring one up. Yeah, holy shit, that guy looks like a – oh, here's a good one. look at this guy. Holy shit. Let's see. Let's open this picture up. There we go. Agree. Man, I'm so sick of this stupid – what do you call it? Let me bring that down. Let's move this over then. Oh, yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He just looks like the kind of guy in a movie that would be – the heartless, soulless assassin that just the hero of the plot is constantly battling, and at the end manages to somehow, you know how they write it, where the hero is the underdog and that guy is about to kill him, and then the hero pulls some cool move and like impales that dude or something. Yeah, I mean, look at the dead eyes. My God, he just looks.
Yeah, if I was to cast this guy in a movie, I'd cast him as like you know, the head of one of those elite mafia kind of families that went legit, or maybe an elite hitman, you know,
yes,
that works for the top people in the world, you know, that are professional.
Yeah, exactly, which is what he is. I mean, that's his real occupation. He's an elite hitman for the people who run the world. That's so funny. Wow, good catch. To be honest, I haven't been paying that close of attention to this kind of stuff because of the impending move, and there's so much to do. But, oh, great catch. Look at this guy. Yeah, he's a good guy, all right, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to save us against the evil Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And so, Giuseppe, let me ask you, you know, this is a complicated question. What do you see Vladimir Putin as? What, you know, how do you read him at this moment now?
Well, he is either part of the Great Reset, and his role is Ruski Hitler 2.0, the ultimate evil, and he's intentionally playing his part. Or he is like Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, who I know you're working to get back on the show, which will be your show, which is great. I really want to hear his take on all this. And either that, or he is just a true Russian Orthodox Christian loyalist to his country, and he realizes how they're all being set up, and he's broken free because he's like, I've said this before, but you know, he's amassed such wealth and control. He's like Big Earn in the great movie Kingpin. Big Earn is above the law. Vlad Putin is above the law, which is the globalist law. And so, you know, either that, and he's a hero for his people and actually for the sane people of the world. And if he's the hero, man, they are going to drop the hammer on him, and it's not going to be good for any of us. If he's playing a role, then we'll see that coming up soon. But I can't figure him out, to be honest.
Yeah, it really is a mixed bag, and it's a little complicated. But, you know, the West is a master at sort of forcing, you know, other countries to play the role of the aggressor, just like, you know, with Pearl Harbor, for example,
right,
forcing a country into a position where they have to take some kind of action. And then said, oh, look how bad you are. We're the good guys, but we're going to go to war now. So, you know, it's just really hard to say. And the idea that, you know, it's essential that Ukraine joins NATO. I mean, could there be any more of an absurd preposition? You know, I mean, supposition. I mean, what could be more esoteric and meaningless than that? Who cares? You know, yet that's the big thing that we're supposedly fighting over.
Well, the great Robert Ravel, and again, thanks to Robert Ravel of Incendiary Radio and Frederick C. Blackburn, the great Blackburn Nine of Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club, for coming on yesterday. That was just a great show, and I admire both those brilliant gentlemen so much. But Robert Ravel made the point that why are these hypocrites and these wag the doggers in the illegitimate Biden marionette administration acting like the Ukrainian border's a big deal when we've got a sieve of our own border and we've got the Kalergi masses pouring in to destroy our country. And there's nothing with that. But yet, oh, we've got to protect the Ukrainian border. The hypocrisy is off the charts. Like I said last night on my own show, I didn't get a chance to research it, but much like the word arrogance on steroids is hubris, there needs to be a word for hypocrisy on steroids, because that's what these low-life parasites are doing. It's beyond hypocritical. We need another word.
Yeah. And, you know, isn't it interesting too how, you know, the left and the right are united against Putin, just like they're sort of united in their support of Israel, right, and their support of this vaccine. Everybody take the vaccine. It's amazing how, you know, when a real agenda issue is afoot, all the sides are united.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real tell as to what's really going on with our so-called political system, isn't it?
Yeah, well said, man. It's crazy. Yeah, I you know, this is the most bizarre thing to me is that the lying globalist media, well, I guess it's not bizarre now that I step back and realize what I started to say. The most disgusting thing to me is how controlled lock, stock, and bagel the once somewhat ethical mass media, the journalism, is just nothing but Rothschild liars. You know, I mean, literally gaslighting liars. And the way they're building up this hysteria about Ukraine, I mean, Ukraine is a shithole, and every bit of criminality you want to find, you can find there. You know, bioweapons, drugs, human trafficking, you name it. The chicken swinging oligarchs have turned that country into a Walmart of evil. I mean, there's everything there. So, I mean, what a joke.
You mean the Nazis?
The Nazis. Oh, my God, them Nazis. Like in the Blues Brothers, I hate those Nazis. Yeah, so it's.
Yeah. The Nazis, yeah. It's really hard to know what's going on here, and a lot of people are coming down very strong on one side or the other. The other thing I find odd, Giuseppe, is there's really not very much footage of any kind proving that there's this massive invasion going on. There's definitely airstrikes. There's definitely some tanks coming in, but I'm not seeing really any proof that this is a full-on invasion. So, you know, we don't even know what's going on here or what the real objective here, but it does seem like Vladimir Putin cured COVID.
Nothing. Yeah. Else. Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, right? Is that the narrative has fallen apart. I mean, the globalists almost lost control of Canada. I mean, they had to roll back, the effeminate, Justine, Fidelita, Trudeau and the punch bowl. I love that you made that up. This is one of those brilliant lines I've heard in quite a while. Trudeau and the punch bowl. And they had to roll him back from trying to act like a dictator to a contrite weasel who's kind of backstabbing people, because they knew they were gonna, the country was going to, the government was going to fall. So it's interesting how they have to. They even those parasites balance on the razor's edge, because their sheer physical numbers are so low that if people like what's going on in Canada, if the great silent majority wakes up and says F you, which is what they were doing, there's no way they can control the government. So that's really interesting. And
again, that's a really important point, Giuseppe, and it's actually a very kind of deep and esoteric point too, which is that this illusion of power, these people only have power as long as we, you know, believe in the system, number one. And
as long as we believe in all these authority figures, that somehow we should give any credence to what they're saying.
Yep.
You know, so that's why they have to use deception and trickery to get us to go along with all these different bogus agendas. Because, you know, if they had absolute power, they'd just say, hey, you're doing this, or we're going to put a bullet in your head.
Exactly.
And we're not there, at least not yet. But that, you know, that's sort of the way China runs things, though, isn't it?
Well, that's really interesting that even China, you know, if they really wielded that level of control, which they like to present that they have, they would have just taken Hong Kong down years ago, and they didn't. So,
you mean Taiwan?
No, Hong Kong. Remember, with all the we don't want to be part of the Chinese system, and like 10, 15 years ago when Britain gave it to China, right? It used to be Hong Kong was,
right.
And then they remember right before COVID scamdemic, a year or two, there were massive protests going on in Hong Kong right around the time the French were doing the yellow vest stuff. And boy, did that shut down quick. But if China really wielded that kind of iron fist the way they want to present they do, they would have just marched in and shut it all down. And they didn't.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. It is, one of the guests on the event said it was government by bluff. And I think that really is very, very true. And the whole point is to get us to believe in the power that these people wield. And, you know, Blackbird and I posted an interesting comment about this Stoltenberg character, and how he first got in politics after his sister, who was at the time a member of the then Marxist-Leninist group, the Red Youth. So that's an interesting little tidbit on the man's background.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking for it to post it. Here it is right here.
It's kind of at the – yeah, there you go.
You know, it's really interesting, Dave, if you think about this whole everybody's anti-Nazi, even Putin. What is a Nazi? A nationalist socialist, which means you're fighting for your country, and you're fighting in the esoteric definition of socialism for the people, right? Socialism – when it was created by the German intellectuals back in the mid-19th century, was initially intended, you know, at the academic big brain level then, to be a way to serve the majority of the people in equity and fairness, right? It got hijacked into, you know, another name for communism. But the actual people, if you read the origins of socialist thinking, they were thinking, a way of supporting the people, offering work to the people, you know, not, you know, as an option against what's another word for royalty? There's the aristocratic leadership, or the religious leadership. That was the original intellectual intent, but it got hijacked really quick by Marxists and traitors, and it's just essentially communism with a different brand now. But it's interesting that the whole world, which is globalist and wants this Jew world order and one world government, all they can do is convince weak-minded normies that, oh, Nazis are bad. When in reality, if you step back and understand what those two words mean, substitute socialism for populist, national populist, that's the only way to solve this and remove this cancer from the first world and everything.
Well, sure, and absolutely, and I see, you know, Hitler is kind of a mixed bag as well. I mean, but what was the greater threat, communism or national socialism and so-called fascism?
Right.
And I think people misuse the term fascism quite a bit now, because under Mussolini's system. Not that I'm defending Mussolini, but under his system, the power of government was sort of merged to a degree with the corporations, but the corporations were expected to actually do things for the benefit of the nation. Now what we have is sort of this supranational multinational corporations that don't care about any one particular country. And going back to Stoltenberger, this guy represents sort of this multinational thing called NATO, which is like this control grid over so-called Europe.
Right.
And you know, Europe used to be really very independent, very, very different nations with different languages, completely different cultures, different currencies. And, of course, that's being eroded away, too. And, you know, I think what's the big enemy here? I think that's the question. Was it the communists or fascism? And, you know, even General Patton realized at the end of the war that, you know, they fought the wrong enemy.
Yep.
And, you know, it's hard to believe, too, that when you boil all the emotion away, America was fighting on the side of the communists in World War II.
Yep. Yeah, what's weird is when you identify the real satanic enemy, it is the Zionist usury parasite Jew and the violent, destructive, malignant communist Jew. Gee, what do they have in common? The Jew world order. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we're going to be joined here in just a few minutes by the legendary Jim Fetzer, and we're going to get his take on all this. And in the third hour, we're going to take calls. So everybody get your finger warmed up and get ready to dial, because I want to hear from people and get their take on this, because really there is no definitive answer as to what's even going on right now in Ukraine. You know, there really isn't. I mean, why is there no footage of anything going on in that conflict other than – you know, some 10-second, you know, TikTok clips. That's really all I've been able to see. And, you know, don't you find it interesting, too, that the mainstream media is so concerned about civilian casualties now, which, of course, you know, that's a horrible thing. But, you know, after 20 years of smart bombs and, you know, not caring at all, after literally, you know, over a million people were killed in Iraq, civilians. I mean,
well,
let that sink in.
To this day, to literally a week or two ago, it came out that the U.S. Sent one of their drone bombs and inadvertently killed like 20 innocent civilians when they were going after someone in Al-Qaeda, which is really Al-Qaeda is just controlled by CIA Mossad, which there should be a new acronym because the CIAM, because they are the same thing now. And the, you know, you date back every month, the United States has murdered innocents, you know, the satanic parasites that control the United States are murdering innocents. So again, we need a new word for hypocrisy on steroids, because that is the lies. And again, the wag the dog bullshit of the globalist gaslighting media is they've done the same thing for since the late 19th century, which is, oh, look at the poor innocent victims. We have to go kill a lot of people because some innocent victims have been raped or murdered. I mean, this is the same strategy that controls weak-minded normies and gets them, oh, I feel so bad for those innocent victims. We've got to go kill a lot of evil people because of the innocent victims. It's like, what is wrong with you, immature, weak-minded boobs? Don't, again and again, it works every time.
Yeah, and, you know, a few months back, they droned like some guy and his children, like him and his seven children were droned, and some, you know, they apologized. Oh, we're sorry. Well, yeah. So what, you know, I mean, but now we're seeing this repetitive image of this, you know, woman, this gray haired woman with a bandage on her head and some blood on her face. It's on all the news feeds. And, if there was really widespread civilian casualties, I think we'd see more than this one image. So I think that's another interesting little takeaway here.
Excellent point. Oh, and I also want to mention that your show today is the first time you are being simulcast on Speak Free Radio, which is the brilliant new initiative, done by Paul English, Dave Gaharie, and Tom Goodrich. So It's just launching, but Speak Free Radio is part of the Scorpio global network that started with Rev Radio and is now on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook Live, and Speak Free Radio. So salute to those brilliant truth tellers for putting together a new platform for the ability to speak free.
Yeah. Paul English is quite a man on multiple levels, and you know, I think he's termed it very well about Putin. He's the least worst option on the world stage right now. I think there's certainly truth in that perspective.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just. Do you think the goal here is just to take, a chunk of Ukraine along that river that sort of divides the eastern quarter of the country and just split it off? Or what's your sense of what the objective actually is?
I think that Putin recognizes he's an adroit interpreter of history, super brilliant guy. I think he understands that the Jew world order wants Israel 2.0 to be the Ukraine. I mean, they've stunningly come out and finally admitted that they're not they don't have any actual Middle Eastern biblical lineage. They're not the tribe of Israel. They're Khazarians. And so they actually have admitted that in Jewish Israeli publications the last month or two. And so he recognizes, uh-oh, there's been this little thing that the chicken swingers do called blood libel, and we don't want to be turned into Germany, so time to take our stand. That's, to me, seems more realistic. Like, you know, 70% is why he's doing that, and then 30% it could be in my thinking that he is getting to play Hitler because he's incredibly well compensated and he has a golden parachute to go, take his magnificent yacht and everything and go park it in New Zealand or in Bali or something when this is all done. But I think more along the lines of what Matthew Raphael Johnson keeps maintaining, that he is a devout Russian Orthodox Christian and he is a true nationalist. A patriot and a populist it loves his country. He's not, clearly not a populist as far as economically. And so he he's decided this is, he kept trying to say no NATO on our border, because realistically what the Rothschild minions are trying to do is comparable to the Chinese doing a deal with Mexico and putting nukes and missile batteries in Juarez across the border from El Paso. This is literally what
exactly
they're trying to do.
It's the keeping missiles in.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth. flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
A little honey on the lone highway left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Don McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two of Operation Scorpio. And for the next 2 hours, it is my pleasure to welcome the man, the legend, the infamous Dr. James Fetzer. Dr. Fetzer, and also a man who I call a friend now. Dr. Fetzer, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
I think infamous probably covers the territory.
No doubt.
Well, Jim, you know, it's amazing, you know, you certainly were on the forefront of calling out so many hoaxes, including the infamous Sandy Hook. And, you know, you're really the one of the only ones that actually stood his ground all the way through, despite all of the slings and arrows that they've put at you. And, you know, that alone is commendable, Jim, and not to mention all the other huge, you know, aspects to the volume of your work.
Yeah, it's closer to an artillery barrage, Scorpio, if you want for better analogy. But, I mean, I'm telling you, it is unreal, and they have gone after so many good people in such very bad ways. James Tracy, for example, lost his position as a tenured associate professor at Florida Atlantic for having a blog. It wasn't even a formal activity. He had a blog where he was blogging about Sandy Hook. He did an absolutely brilliant piece about Wayne Carver's press conference, which raised so many peculiar questions. So it was one of the very first scholarly studies of Sandy Hook coming from James Tracy. And in his courses, he actually had a course on media and conspiracy. So, you know, I mean, there was just no way they could get him for not doing something that was covered by his normal professional assignments. They manufactured an issue over not signing a form where in 35 years of higher education, I never heard of anyone being penalized for not signing a form. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And then,
And Jim, that's a real tell, you know, when, you know, someone gets removed from their job over their position, because if it's a major agenda point, that's when the hammer comes down. Just like we've seen with COVID, you know, if you question the science, even though the science seems to change every couple of weeks, then you've got to be taken out. And that's, you know, it's the same thing with Sandy Hook. It's a real tell about what the real agenda items are, isn't it?
Well, I think that's right. And, I mean, James Tracy was probably the best faculty member they had at Florida Atlantic. I mean, it's not a grade A institution, but James Tracy is a grade A faculty member, excellent scholar, impeccable, very decent guy, too decent probably. I was hoping he would just lay the burden of responsibility on me by emphasizing the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which after all is the only scholarly effort to disentangle what happened, although now Mary Maxwell, who has a background in the law, and for that reason, some will take her more seriously than they take me, even though I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, and we established a school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it was a 2-day FEMA exercise for which we even had found the manual from mass casualty event involving children, which I included in the book. Tracy is just a very fine guy, and Florida Atlanta, in my opinion, diminished itself and stained its reputation permanently by sacking him.
Well, yeah, and Jim, you know, one thing that really backs up your you know, this the hypothesis of your book, which I find to be very, very credible in so many different ways. You know, years ago, right after Sandy Hook happened, I saw a video on YouTube that, you know, it's long since been scrubbed, but it was a guy who lived in the area, and he essentially just snuck onto the property with a video camera and went, walked around the whole building and filmed into the windows of the building. And what he saw was, like, you know, the ceiling had holes in it. I mean, all the old items were stacked up into rooms. It was clear that the school had not been in use for years, and that it wasn't suitable just from the condition he showed on the rooms, you know, holes in the ceiling and plaster missing on the walls and just a complete state of disrepair. Clearly the school had not been in use, at least for a number of years. And I thought that was just irrefutable proof, but of course that's long down the memory hole.
Well, there's so many aspects to this, Scorpio. For example, there's one entrance, but there is no rear exit. There don't appear to have been any fire alarms, smoke alarms, none of what you'd normally expect to be in a school. And, of course, there was no handicap parking in the lot, which means it cannot have been legally operating as a public school in Connecticut. I checked the Connecticut and federal law at the time. They had to have these yellow and white painted stripes. We had to have the signage. They had to have wheelchair accessibility. They've got an exit there that's a wooden stair with a steel pipe sticking out that no principal would allow because a little kid could pop out of eye if they ran into it. It's just outrageous. I'm just delighted to see all these comments coming from the chat room. Scorpio, you got a great audience here, very much on top of this. I'm impressed.
Yeah, and you know, there's always great comments coming in on the chat, and yeah, your work on the Boston bombing is unparalleled, and you took a lot of heat for being a nut, when this all happened, but you know, as time has gone on, it's really hard to dismiss all of this stuff. You know, it's really amazing, and it's a testament to your research. Let's get Giuseppe in here because I know he's chomping at the bit to talk to his friend Dr. Jim Fetzer. Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Well, it's wonderful to have the brilliant professor on Operation Scorpio. And, Jim, so what is your take?
What the heck?
I don't know why somebody called Skype already. Jim, what?
Next hour, guys.
Next hour. Yeah, hour 3. Jim, what's your take on this? It appears to be this whole Ukrainian thing is more wag the dog, like that famous movie of 10, 15 years ago, than real. And what is your interpretation of what Putin's doing and what's going on in the Ukraine?
Well, I'm glad to address that, though I have much more to say about all the false flags and so forth, where Amazon has banned six of the books where I bring together experts from different fields to sort out what happened, not only on Sandy Hook, but the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, and even the Moon book. Unbelievable. I believe Putin is taking care of business, that they're... The U.S. has a whole host of bio labs in Ukraine, believe it or not. And what Putin is doing is focusing on taking them out. They're a threat not only to Russia, but to the rest of the world. Ukraine is a massively corrupt nation. The very idea of encroaching by making Ukraine a NATO country, which is a complete violation of all the agreements that were made when the dissolution of the Soviet Union was in the works. I know the special ambassador appointed by Ronald Reagan, Lee Wanta, who was involved in bringing all this about. We have the Secretary of State at the time, James Baker, declaring that the West would not encroach one inch to the east. And, of course, we've gone about trying to turn them all to NATO nations. I mean, look, if you want a parallel, it's as though Russia want to set up artillery batteries on our Mexican border or with Canada, you know, and we're not supposed to think that's an issue of national security. The way the West plays all this is strictly from a naive, ignorant point of view, never taking into account the legitimate security concerns of Russia. Vladimir Putin, I endorse what he's doing 100%. It does appear to be a real op. And I'm getting feedback from inside Ukraine about this, Giuseppe. So it's not the way it's being depicted in the mainstream media, but he is taking very serious measures, and the West would be well advised not to try to interfere, because Putin's made it very clear that his response will be severe. And this is the one man whose word you can count upon in this world today.
Excellent point, Jim. Excellent point.
Yeah, certainly so. Although I'm not 100% convinced that this bioweapon lab thing is real. It could be. You know, I just haven't seen enough actual proof, but it's certainly possible. But, you know, Jim, maybe you could comment on this. I'm sure you've been trying to follow the sort of the footage and the feeds of coming in about this conflict, and I find it strange. There's very little footage coming in that shows any indication of a full-scale invasion. Obviously, there's been proof that airstrikes are happening, and there's some tanks moving in and a few other things, but I'm not seeing any indication of a real, like, full-scale invasion the way that the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media is trying to tell us. What's your take on that aspect of it?
Well, I'm certainly willing to be shown to be wrong, Scorpio, and you guys are particularly good, I think, at sorting things out. So I like that very much. And that's, of course, what we're all about. But it is the case that some of the footage could easily have been manufactured, be from other wartime scenarios, and I expect it'll take a while for us to discern what actually is going on, to disentangle all the elements of propaganda, the fake news from the real. So your points are well taken, Scorpio. I'm not in a position to refute your skepticism.
Well, yeah, and I'm open to the idea that these bioweapon labs are real. We just need to see more proof, and maybe that'll come forward. But here's this is the biggest thing that has me wondering about, you know, this wag the dog scenario, or what's really going on in Ukraine, is the timing. Why was the trigger pulled right now, at the very moment that, you know, COVID was just sort of unraveling, and all of a sudden the governments are saying, oh, you know, hey, just learn to live with COVID. It's no big deal after all. You know, we thought it was going to end the world, but no, just learn to live with COVID. Don't worry about it. At that very moment, now we have this, you know, Ukrainian theater happening. So what's your take on the timing of this?
Well, you're very good at making those observations, Scorpio. And yeah, I mean, the COVID narrative is basically falling apart. But what's happened in Canada, I think, is very embarrassing. Justin Trudeau jumped the gun by declaring he was going to retain those Emergency Act powers. There was a run on the bank. This at Klaus Schwab shitting in his pants. Guys, if you've seen this photograph of Klaus on the beach, it's horrific. This guy is a bizarre person, you know, as a human being, as flesh and bone, he's as repulsive as it gets. But it appears that they're wanting to introduce a digital banking in Canada. And by creating a run on the bank, the actual assets of the banks were being depleted so that Justin got a spanking from Klaus and had to reverse himself. Well, that's extremely embarrassing. I think the truckers set a marvelous example. Trudeau was outed as a petty tyrant, but it turns out he's just one of many who have been tutored by the World Economic Forum. For example, Emmanuel in France is another expert, graduate of, as it were, the World Economic Forum. They created this leadership class. I have a blog about it right now at jamesfetzer.org, where they go through about 50 names of people who are rather prominent politicians who've been schooled by the World Economic Forum, where Macron and Trudeau are among the most prominent. But there are many, many others, including Pete Buttigieg, for example, right here in the USA. If you wonder why there's so many peculiarities, a lot of it is because there's a form of foreign infiltration into the governments of many of the Western nations that thought they knew what was going on and thought they were democracies, but actually are only simulacrums with some of the attributes thereof, but many crucial components missing.
Well, yeah, Jim, I think you're right. I think Trudeau, a.k.a. Little Castro, let the cat out of the bag a little too quickly about how, hey, we're gonna freeze your bank accounts. We're gonna actually delete you as a person under our coming digital currency system, and we're gonna declare martial law indefinitely or emergency powers. So I think this is all about incrementalism, and I think little Castrito
Castrito.
Let the cat out of the bag too quickly. I think that's a good point. Giuseppe, go ahead.
Well, Giuseppe's amused by your Trudeau in a punch bowl, you know. That was so
that was awesome,
Scorpio. Yeah. we admire your linguistic ingenuity. It was so appropriate.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Giuseppe, go for it.
Well, I'm looking for that picture of Klaus Schwab on the beach. I've posted it, reposted it on Twitter, and maybe I can find it. But if ever there was, you look up the definition in Webster's of global homo, that picture will be there. So that's unbelievable.
It's completely repulsive.
Oh, sickening,
I mean,
Jim. Sickening.
And to think this guy is maybe the most influential figure on planet Earth right now as we speak. I mean, how awful, how god-awful is that?
Well, Jim, what's so bizarre is I perused his book, The Fourth Economic Revolution, and it's just garbage. It's like a buffoon wrote it. It's just not almost nonsensical. It's laughable to me that he is propped up when he's an intellectual lightweight. I mean, this is essentially the epitome of all of your false flag research. Is this little propped up goof is being able to be the front person for the Rothschild wet dream of one world government, great reset, build back better, which is the small b's are actually sixes for their satanic beliefs, and just the Jew world order. I mean, this is insane that people are playing along and accepting it on such a global scale. So your thoughts on this being the massive culmination of all the false flags is to drive the world to the one world government.
Well, let me share a portion of a paragraph from that book, which is absolutely stunning when you get a look at it. At least 4 billion useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal rapid-acting diseases and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elite, with the white population of Western Europe and North America, and then spreading to other races. The population of Canada, Western Europe, and the United States will be decimated more rapidly than can other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level of 1 billion, of which 500 million will consist of Chinese and Japanese races selected because they are people who have been regimented for centuries and who are accustomed to obeying authority without question. That's from Klaus Schwab's book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, and I have the,
wow,
the ghastly photograph alongside of it. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And that was a direct quote, Jim.
That's a direct quote. I'm reading right from the page.
My God. Certainly telling us what the plan is. And, you know, again, we're seeing how they're playing out the long game. Now the goal is 2050. But, you know, and I think what he's touching upon is this new green agenda. You know, that everything is in, you know, subsistence level. Everything's in shortage. And only the elite get to play in the playground. That's really, really interesting, Jim. Great find.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you, Scorpio, right now. Let me figure the right way. Would Skype be better or what?
Sure, yeah, just send it on Skype, yeah.
Okay, let me see what I can do here.
So, but, Giuseppe, go ahead, man.
Well, Jim, getting back to your magisterial work on pulling together skilled investigators, authors for the series of false flag books you've done, which, let me put up the picture here from Moonrock Books. Which,
yeah, and I've just, yes.
Right there?
Yes. Yes, and, we've published. Go ahead.
Oh, what's on your mind? What's the latest initiative you're working on?
Well, we got a second edition of the Charlottesville book that'll be out shortly. That's the latest. We've had the problem of dealing with the publisher, Dave Gaharry, being hit with COVID to such a serious degree that he was actually in a coma, in an induced coma for 2 months and on a ventilator. I was worried he'd never come out of it. And then when he did and recovered and was sent to rehab, he had another incident where he had a relapse and was put on a ventilator again. So this is a guy who beat the ventilator twice. Yeah, if you want to see something truly repulsive, there it is.
There it is.
Before your very eyes. Before your very eyes.
God.
And Scorpio, you see that there's that paragraph. How could they be more plain and open about what they're doing, about their agenda?
Well, hold on there. I see that's Photoshopped, that head. That's actually, wait, let me do a little digital magic. That's Jim Fetzer's photograph. No, I'm just kidding.
This is pretty awful, Giuseppe, that this guy, I mean, look, he's got brass, he's got a terrible body. I mean, the guy's just awful.
Yeah,
and then he's wearing this little wrapper around his equipment, such as it may be. I mean, this is just horrendous. I mean, that's the word that comes to mind.
Yep, horrendous is correct, yeah. I mean, nauseating, literally vomit-inducing.
Yeah, nauseating, literally nauseating.
Yeah.
This guy should be so influential as to be, as it were, running the world with a backing. He is a Rothschild himself, by the way, you know. So this is a manifestation of the Rothschild banking empire, which is just not happy with the 90 to 95% of control of the world. They want to go all the way.
True that.
Well, yeah, and I think, too, you know, you're seeing this agenda revealed in the little quote you just read. And I think the problem that these people are going to be facing, if we dare call them people, that's questionable, is the agenda that they have in store for most of the people in the world is not terribly, you know, it's not going to be popular. It's not going to be like, ooh, I can't wait for that. And so they're going to have to sort of deceive the population into accepting this agenda through trickery and, you know, the climate crisis and this crisis and that crisis. And they may be hitting sort of an invisible wall here because it seems to me like these events are becoming, you know, more transparently bogus. And you know, I just think every day one new normie kind of wakes up and goes, hey, you know, I don't think the way they're telling me the world is actually reality. And so what are your thoughts on that? There's sort of this erosion of their ability to control the narrative.
Well, I think that is taking place, Scorpio, and I do think this green agenda is another contrivance that they may be pushing now that the COVID pandemic meme seems to be petering out, and there's so much expose of the corruption of Big Pharma, how much this was planned in advance, that the Rothschilds actually had patents on COVID-19 aspects early 2017, 2015, even years and years before. I mean, it puts Fauci's observation from 2017 that the Trump administration would have to confront not only the normal seasonal flu and AIDS and HIV, but a surprise pandemic into perspective, because if he's announcing it in 2017, how can it be a surprise? And if he's the guy, the most highly paid member of the American government, who's responsible for preparedness for pandemics, why weren't we prepared? Of course, the answers are all too obvious. Indeed, it looks as though there's HIV in the jab, and that Anthony Fauci, I believe, had a major role in designing these vaccines to depopulate the world. I mean, if there were ever a despicable individual who deserved to be strung up by the neck until dead, it's Tony the Rat.
Well, certainly. And, you know, another way to, you know, another perspective on that is that, you know, there is not a whole lot of proof that HIV actually causes AIDS. That's certainly up for question, I believe. And another way to see this is that the vaccine is certainly, you know, capable of decimating the immune system. So once you've done that, then you get this AIDS-like cluster of symptoms that they call, you know, HIV or AIDS. So because it's like this so-called vaccine is sort of hijacking the immune system to protect against one thing. It goes into overdrive on this one thing, and it sort of limits its ability to function normally. That's the real danger here as I see it.
Oh, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As Giuseppe emphasized the other day when we had Peter McCullough with us, they took 38 million cases of the flu and it converted them into 37,998,000 cases of COVID. So the flu just disappeared miraculously from year to year. That was to create the sense of a pandemic. But there was no increase in the death rate. In other words, although we were supposed to be in the midst of the COVID pandemic, there was no increase in death. That only occurred with a vax. Now, there are two aspects to the use of the vaccine that seem to me to be the keys to their concealment, their strategy to camouflage what's going on. The first is, even after you get the vax, the CDC retains you in the category of being unvaccinated for 2 weeks. Now, the immediate reactions that take place, and there are people who drop dead after getting the vax, occur within the first couple of weeks. So they really add those to the total of the unvaccinated when, in fact, they're actually vaccinated. And, of course, the other is the fact that a key property of the vax is that it destroys your immune system, which means you're simply vulnerable to a whole host of threats to your body that you would have been able to deal with effortlessly. But it means that which one affects you is very much a function of your own personal life history, your metabolism, your degrees of resistance. So you get people dying from a whole lot of seemingly disparate causes, heart attack, you know, stroke, blood clots. They're all caused by the vax, but because it's manifesting in different ways, they conceal or camouflage how it's taking place. We have valiant funeral directors in the UK, for example, who are coming out and talking about the horrors they're encountering, and that those in long-term care facilities are, in essence, being murdered by being given the jab. And the others who are talking about the conduct of autopsies that are pulling out these heavy fibrous. It's almost like you had your veins or your arteries stuffed with cotton, long sequences of grotesque stuff they've never seen before in any human body they've ever autopsied before. I mean, and of course, all the parasites, we have the photographs from the researchers in Spain showing us all these weird little parasites. And then there's the graphene oxide, which is self-replicating. So the fellow who designed the graphene oxide claims you can tell how many years you have left by measuring the amount of graphene oxide in your system on a 10-year scale. If you have 10% of graphene oxide and you got 9 years, 20%, 8 years, working the way up. I believe part of the graphene oxide, which is like the flimsiest molecular material known to man, is to create a brain 5G interface.
Right.
So that your thoughts and your feelings can be remotely controlled. So then when the World Economic Forum says it's 2035, I own nothing and I'm happier than I've ever been, ask, how happy would you be if you didn't have personal property, your own home, your apartment, your personal possessions, your entertainment center, your weapons, your automobile? All that disappears, and yet you're supposed to be happier than you've ever been. That's because your thoughts and your feelings are no longer yours. They're controlled remotely. The World Economic Forum is essentially instilling in you thoughts and feelings that are no longer your own. So when you were mentioning before about, you know, what's going to happen with the population not being a popular program, yes, slavery is only popular among the masters.
Jim, that was just a great summation.
Right.
And, you know, of course, this is partly why we're supposed to be talking about Ukraine and how important it is Ukraine joins NATO as this sort of death wave or wave of maladies unfolds. And I think this 10-year timeline is really very, very accurate. I think that that's enough time for it to all be explained away, at least in the minds of some people. Giuseppe, this is all right up your alley, man. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first, this is pretty cool. You guys should both join Gab. I'm on Gab, and we've got a message from a gentleman on Gab called Blitzer One, who says, coming through on Speak Free perfectly, dear sirs. And he then says, please ask Jim about the protests. I'm of the opinion that most of them by far are part of the biggest growth industry in the world next to mercenaries, oops, contractor work. I think they're crisis actors, most of them, certainly not all. I call bullshit on. I've been in real protests years ago, and I know when I see it. Jim is one of my favorite skeptical cynics in the world. So, Jim, Blitzer One wants your take on all the so-called protests, especially now, today, with the Ukrainian phony protests going on.
Yeah, I do think these Ukraine protests are fake. I do agree with that. I do believe, however, the worldwide protests against the lockdowns, the pandemic, you know, the forced mandates and all that appear to be bona fide and have, you know, vast numbers in Melbourne and Paris and Berlin and elsewhere around the world. Those appear to me to be bona fide. I'd be very surprised to be shown to be wrong. But I do think that, you know, the fake standing up for Ukraine is just nonsense. I agree completely with Blitzer One about that aspect. It's just more propaganda. Indeed, it does appear that what's gone on in Ukraine has been provoked deliberately by the West to create a scenario as a form of distraction. And how many ways you can view it as distraction. I mean, if they thought that the public was going to rally to Biden because of his supposed to be standing up to Vladimir Putin. I mean, that's a joke. After the calamity of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, everyone sees him as completely incompetent and sort of blundering into a confrontation with Russia is not going to benefit Biden or Harris even remotely, in my judgment, where they're going to do everything they can to forestall the bloodbath that's coming in the November elections, where I reiterate my prediction that the Democrats are going to lose 100 seats in the House and 3 or 4 in the Senate. So they just are in a kind of a situation where they're hysterical. They don't know quite what to do, but you can bet they're going to try to pull off some nonsense to forestall to defeat this looming red wave.
Yeah, that's interesting. Giuseppe, great question from that guy on Gab. Thanks for bringing that up. That was excellent.
Blitzer one
question.
Blitzer one.
And it really is. It leads to a sort of a bigger question too about how much of what we see is simply scripted theater, the Ukrainian theater, so to speak. And you know, Jim, maybe I could get your take on this. I'm concerned about this, trucker rally going to Washington, D.C. It seems to me that they're just walking right into a trap, much like, you know, this thing in Charlottesville where you had, essentially, I think a lot of these protesters were legitimate people, but it was hijacked and they were brought right into this big trap. And it just seems to me if you drive all the trucks into Washington, D.C., They're just heading into a trap of, first of all, because they're going to be able to easily take this January 6th narrative. Oh, this is a repeat of January 6th. It shows you how dangerous, you know, the American people are, you know. And so I'm concerned about that. And I'm also concerned that once, let's say, a movement is started, oftentimes it's hijacked by the intelligence agencies and you know, the similar people to steer it into a bad direction, to steer it right into the rocks. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you up and down the line on this, Scorpio. And it doesn't seem to be generating a tremendous amount of support. I mean, what we had in Canada was organic. It was genuine. You had, you know, tens of thousands, even millions of Canadians turning out to support them. You could feel the reality of it and the enthusiasm. I get no sense of any of that going on here in the U.S. It would be all too easy to blockade, set up roadblocks. I mean, there are too many ways it can be controlled here. And they've already declared they're not going to go into the District of Columbia. But, of course, Pelosi is using it as an excuse to resurrect fences there. These are ways of actually protecting the government from the people, but they're very grossly abusive. We saw this about the time of the inauguration, which was, of course, fabricated and pre-recorded on video. I was sitting here watching as Biden, the fake Biden, was being sworn in, and it was 10 minutes to 12, which meant it wasn't time yet. It was still during the Trump administration. And, of course, we all know the fakery of the Oval Office that's in the Eisenhower Executive Building, where there's seats for all the reporters. They know this is all fabricated and fake, and they're not reporting on it. And this guy is so utterly incompetent. He doesn't pose a threat to the world whatsoever. I'm convinced, by the way, that when you have 57% of the American people don't approve of a single thing that Biden has done since he's been in office, opening the borders, destroying our energy independence, going after the gas and oil industry, the supply problems, soaring inflation and all that. If you assume that it's not actually Joe Biden calling the shots, but rather George Soros, who's made it his life's ambition to destroy America, all the pieces, I think, fall into place. And Soros is, of course, of one mind with a Rothschild. So you have here the guy who, oddly enough, picked Kamala Harris to be the vice presidential nominee. That wasn't done by the DNC or the Democratic Party. Alexander Soros, George's son, announced Kamala would be the VP, and we all know how that's played out. But it's ridiculous if you want to have such a weak government that the vice president comes across as a buffoon, and where the president comes across as cognitively incompetent from the beginning. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad. We have a joke for an administration in Washington, D.C., and the whole world recognizes that to be the case.
Oh, I agree. How many Joe Bidens do you think there are? I mean, I think there's more than one, that's for sure. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a friend who follows this who thinks there are quite a few. It appears that the last real Biden disappeared in 2017. We don't seem to have seen one since. And, of course, you and I and Giuseppe were watching that first debate where it was evident that the guy who was debating Donald Trump wasn't even a senator from Delaware. So, you know, from that point on, I've done quite a few presentations about this, and I do believe, I'm certainly open to the possibility there are several, but the main guy has a skull that is too narrow. They've got different shapes and type of skull. And of course, it's been confirmed by different handwriting, different signatures. These are characteristics that tend not to change, certainly not your skull. Your handwriting minimally, I used to be into graphology, but these handwriting, these signatures are completely different. That was a revelation that came from a pharmacist who was used to comparing signatures to make sure he wasn't allocating drugs on the basis of forged prescriptions. All the pieces fit together that is, whoever this guy is, he's an actor, and I do agree. I'm certainly open that there are several they use on different occasions. Donald Trump had a double for a security purpose. He had much more silver hair, much less the orange man. But that was, I think, just for security. That's a pretty common practice. What's going on with Biden is just a total chicanery and fraud on the American public to make them believe this is someone who's really no more than a sock puppet. I mean, it's just too blatant, too obvious. There's even a photograph I haven't been able to sort out yet where you got both of Biden's hands on the podium, but there's a third hand on the side. What in the world is going on there? Now, I haven't had a chance to sort that one out, but it'll be coming up.
Yeah, that reminds me of some of those pictures of Barack Obama as a youth, how they're all Photoshopped, and there's an extra hand in one of them with his father, supposed father next to him. Giuseppe, why don't you take that home, sir?
Jim, what do you make of push towards everything is as Putin is Hitler, everything's Nazi, 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 you know, and when you break down what a national socialist is, it's essentially someone who is loyal to their nation and who basically wants to champion. What the hell? This idiot keeps calling. What? This is ridiculous. I'm going to have to block.
Yeah, next hour, guys.
Yeah. And everything, you know, if you look at the real Jew world order, the Great Reset is all about one globalist government. You know, they're vilifying Putin as the so-called next Hitler. Everything's a Hitler. I'm so tired of that ridiculousness. But what do you make of all that, Jim? That the subliminal message is, ooh, nationalism is bad, when the only way to save this world is a return to nationalism, and you have independent nation states that can deal with each other from, you know, an actual adult dialogue and negotiating state, not this parasitic Rothschild cancer that we're all under the thumb of.
Well, Trump, of course, is a businessman. He wanted to deal with Russia on a business-like basis. Putin, I think, was completely open to that. There is every reason in the world why Russia and the United States ought to be comrades in arms, including, you know, the predominantly white Christian civilization that they represent. There are probably more affinities in terms of our history and tradition between the Russian population and the American than between ourselves and virtually any other, though we can talk about our Western European allies, the French and the British. Just before I came on the show, I was picking up on a new meme coming from MSNBC, to which my wife is addicted, talking about Putin being a racist, that this is all racism. So, of course, we're going to hear that meme. You and Scorpio were already picking up on it. The idea of comparing Putin to Hitler is really quite far-fetched, unless you look at the real history of Hitler, because actually in seeking to restore the economy of Germany after World War II and the Treaty of Versailles, Hitler took a number of measures, including securing the borders of Germany and getting the Jewish bankers out of Germany that had very beneficial effects for Germany. I recall years ago I was interviewing an expert in this area, and he was recounting the real history of Germany, and it's stunningly different than what we're given in terms of the stereotypical Hitler did a lot of good for Germany, which is not to say that things didn't go awry by and by, but actually there was a kind of a German economic miracle. It's been replicated in the wake of World War II in the following fashion. The United States, and by agreement, Germany was not allowed to rearm itself, so that the United States and NATO have been paying for defense of Germany, which means that the German nation has not been saddled with a defense budget. I mean, if we weren't saddled with our defense budget, which is taking up what percentage of the GDP, 20%, 30%, I'm not sure. You or Scorpio may know. But if we were unburdened by having to invest that vast amount of money in our national defense, we'd be doing pretty well. And Germany is indeed doing pretty well. And let me add, the threats about Nord Stream 2, and I do think this has got a whole lot to do with why this business about Ukraine has erupted. It's not going to play out. I mean, there's a natural relationship between Russia, which has vast quantities of natural gas, and the European nations, which need vast quantities of natural gas as an energy resource. When Biden talks about canceling Nord Stream 2, which is already built but not yet fully operational, he's going to create a chaos. He's going to create a division in NATO, because the German people and most Europeans aren't going to stand for freezing in the winter because of some ideological commitment of this brainless president of the United States. So I think that the situation is really ripe for fracturing this antiquated military alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that has long since outlived its usefulness and where was, of course, responsible for the slaughter of Libya under the directorship of this monster known as Hillary Clinton. That was just a great tragedy, because Muammar Gaddafi, by using the oil resources of Libya to benefit the Libyan people, had created something that was approximating a truly humane society on earth. National health care, national public education, newlyweds given $25,000 or more bonus, creating the great waterworks that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis, introducing the gold dinar, which would rapidly become the currency of all of Africa. Muammar Gaddafi is one of the most underrated figures of recent history, because he truly was a great humanitarian. He's made out to be some kind of dictator or butcher, but the facts are quite the opposite. And it was he who observed that if you want to eliminate terrorism in the world, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London.
Well, and it's very telling that the very first thing that NATO bombed was the Great Water Project, and that really, you know, that's really a crime against humanity, if you think about it.
Oh, I agree 100%. Absolutely. And the Rothschilds, of course, didn't like the idea of a gold dinar, of a new currency that was actually backed, that had substance to it, so they wanted to wipe that out. When I heard that the first action of the rebel group opposing Gaddafi in Libya was to found a new central bank, it was obvious to me that this was all rigged and completely other than it was being presented. But then Gaddafi, you know, was savagely murdered by Hillary. He'd agreed. He didn't put up a fight. He was traveling in a convoy under a white flag of surrender to a location specified by the Department of State when Hillary had the convoy interdicted and Gaddafi brutally murdered and sodomized with a bayonet and then cackled after, paraphrasing Julius Caesar of the Gallic Wars, who'd said, "I came, I saw, I conquered." She said, "We came, he died, cackle, cackle, cackle." You know, I mean, Hillary is just a disgusting person. I mean, and anyone who thinks that she has would be a worthy standard bearer for the Democratic Party. But then, you know, you look around and who have they got? But they've got Kamala Harris. They got Hillary is chafing at the bit to get back in it. And then they got a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. They may think is going to be the savior of the party. I think not.
Well, the years have not been kind to Michelle Obama.
Mike.
I'm sort of seeing a 5 o'clock shadow developing in a lot of the pictures. So that's not a good sign. But, you know, I recently saw, you know, a little clip of, Hillary Clinton on the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media. And I have to say, Jim, she looked, insane. And of course, she was talking about how we can't allow people to give aid and comfort to our enemy by saying good things about Vladimir Putin. And really all that was being said is that the man is highly intelligent. He's cunning and he's no fool. Somehow that's giving comfort to the enemy. And essentially just, you know, this constant calling out, like, be careful of what you say. You know, your words are being monitored. We have an enemy. We all have to unite against him. So, you know, I just thought that she actually looked like really mentally ill, like a seriously mentally ill individual doing the speaking there.
Well, I have no doubt that she is. She's lost her way. I think she's probably gone mad. I mean, you know, some of the satanic practices in which she indulges include eating human flesh.
Right.
And, of course, you have this disease familiar to cannibals. It's prions eating your brain, you know, which appear, by the way, also to be an unholy aspect of the vax. There are reason to believe prions are also in the vax, and they'll bring about mad human disease as the analog of mad cow disease. But Hillary was involved in satanic practices, including the sexual abuse and the ritualistic murder of children and drinking their blood. This whole adrenochrome thing is just ghastly. We torture children so that the amount of adrenaline in their blood will soar. And some of the practices they use to bring about that result are unspeakable. And then they drink the blood, which they believe will keep them young. Nancy Pelosi, I am convinced, has been engaged in the consumption of adrenochrome. Hillary Clinton, obviously, Huma Abedin, but a host of others, unsavory characters who are still familiar figures on the American political stage, sad to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would put George Bush in that same basket of deplorables, so to speak. Giuseppe, why don't you go ahead, man? Take the helm.
Nancy Pelosi, yuck.
Wow, that is a weird photograph.
Yep. Really captures the vodka guzzling, adrenochrome swilling, inside trading. I mean, Pelosi has been allowed to remain the leader of the Democratic House of Representatives for how many decades now? At the same time, she's, you know, the best inside kosher casino hedge fund trader might deliver a 25% to 30% return on investment, and Nancy and her corrupt husband are because they have so much knowledge of insider moves are getting a return on their investment of nearly 70%. I mean, how is she not in jail? I mean, it's bizarre. But Jim, Scorpio brought it up. That was exactly the point I wanted to bring up, is Hillary's lunatic ranting speech this week makes it look like she wants to position herself as the war president and make a third, which will ultimately be a failed run at the presidential election. Do you think that's coming?
Oh, she wants it. I have no doubt whatsoever. Hillary is eager to get back into the fray. And one among other scenarios they talk about, and there are options on this, was somehow getting her into the line of succession. Biden obviously is incompetent. He could withdraw at any time or be taken out by the 25th Amendment. If Kamala were to move up, she'd obviously need help. They could bring in Hillary. If they could get her confirmed as vice president, then Kamala could step aside and Hillary would take the reins of government. A scenario along that line, in my opinion, is not far-fetched, except that the Democrats are going to be wiped out. They've done everything, as I've said before, and you've appreciated the metaphor. they've done a better job of self-immolation than a Buddhist monk protesting the Vietnam War. There's nothing to be said for the Democrat Party. Everything they've done, defunding the police, rioting, looting, arson, all which they were approving. The election of all these George Soros-funded district attorneys who think that bail is racist and are turning criminals out on the street, that just leads to an endless cycle of greater and greater mayhem in the streets. The rise in crime is stunning. The American people are repulsed by all of this. We have seen what the Democrats want to do to the nation and do not like it. I don't think there's a sober American who's aware of what's going on who would be remotely disposed to vote for the Democrat Party, which is why the Republicans now have an historic generic lead, unprecedented in polling, of, oh, I don't know, it must be 4 or 5, maybe more points, valuing or preferring any Republican to any Democrat. In the past, the Democrats have always had that generic edge, even if only by a point or two. Right now, the Republicans have the edge by a margin that's unprecedented, which is further reason to believe that, you know, we're going to see a really mammoth change in politics in November.
Well, and in reference to Giuseppe's talking about Nancy Pelosi's stock trading, you know, there is actually people that were running sites following Nancy Pelosi's trades because it was a guaranteed moneymaker. So, because obviously she's trading on insider information, do almost all of these people on the inside of Washington. It's become sort of a cottage industry amongst congressmen and senators.
Let me add, after the 2016 election, when it turned out that the leader of the faithless electors movement, people who were elected to vote for Trump, they were trying to persuade to switch their vote to Hillary, turned out to be Nancy Pelosi's daughter. It occurred to me that maybe Nancy was deeply involved in all this Pizzagate nonsense, and I discovered rapidly she has her own pizzeria called Goat's Hill Pizza in San Francisco. And that led to further research where a fan sent me photographs. He'd gone there and taken pictures inside Pelosi's pizzeria, and there were drawings and letters from children all over the wall, and there were 3 or 4 guys who didn't look like they were waiting for their sausage and pepperoni. I'm very disturbed that Nancy is just as deep. And if you want to get into this and see the evidence as I lay it out, if you go to jamesfetzer.org and look for the blog called JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, I had a set website by that name from
Papa.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message. Ladies and gentlemen, your lives are becoming more difficult as the life force of your world is draining away. Have you noticed that as everything around you seems to decline, one thing still grows? It is the power of your rulers. None of their plans and directives have solved your problems or made your life better. The only result has been their increased control over you at the cost of your freedom. Do you know why? You gave them the power. They called for your sacrifice, and you thought it was noble. They said if you worked for yourself and your family, that you were selfish and uncaring. And they made you feel ashamed. They denounced the leaders of industry as greedy exploiters. You agreed.
All evil needs to win is the consent of good people. To everyone within the range of my voice, you now have a choice to make. If you decide to support the notion of sacrifice enforced by the state, your game is up. Your world is in a downward spiral, and you will ride it down to destruction. But if you share the values, if you believe that your life is a sacred possession for you to make the most of, if you want to live by the judgment of your own mind, not edicts from the state, then follow our lead. Do not support your own oppressors. Stop letting the system exploit you. Form your own communities on the frontiers of your crumbling world. Your rulers hold you by your endurance to carry the burdens they impose, by your generosity when you hear cries of despair, and above all, by your innocence which cannot grasp the depths of their evil. The world you are living in is the world they wanted. Leave them to it. Those who are eager to build a better world, a world of freedom and opportunity, a world based on mutual respect. In that world, you will not receive alms, nor pity, nor forgiveness of sins, but honor, respect, and justice. Don't let the fire go out spark by irreplaceable spark in confusion and despair. The world you desire can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It is yours.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. The number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. It's your world. Take it. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio! Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to the third and final hour of Operation Scorpio. And in this hour, we're going to continue our conversation with the great Dr. Jim Fetzer. And, I just want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. So many good comments coming in both on Revolution Radio and our Twitch feed and Facebook, which is a miracle we're still on there, actually. And, you know, some good comments coming in about, you know, the offspring or the spawn of these, you know, people involved in this criminal cabal, how their children are being placed in Ireland and other countries, to sort of continue the great work, as they call it. And so this really is sort of a bloodline criminal cabal. And, interesting comments coming in. I appreciate all, I'm keeping an eye on them, and I do appreciate all the comments. And in this hour, we're going to take calls. And, you know, Jim, one thing I always really liked about your show was that you always took callers and you were always so respectful
to the callers, no matter what they might say. You gave everyone a chance to speak their mind and kind of kept, you know, passing the ball around to everybody. And I was just really admired that about your show. And so, we're going to take some callers and, Giuseppe, why don't you give out the call number and try to get things rolling with the callers?
Sure. We've actually got our first caller who's a longtime host in the independent media calling from Australia, the legendary Sean Surplus. Sean, are you there?
I am here, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you? And please tell us what the heck is going on with the globalist tyranny and totalitarianism in Australia. How are you guys holding up, you and your daughter?
It's been up and down and up and down. It's so totalitarian, it's not funny. I don't know why my video is not showing up.
That's all right. Anyway, you handsome devil.
Sean, how you doing, man? Good to have you on the show. Continue.
How you doing, Scorpio?
Well, as good as can be expected in this crazy world. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah. How are you doing, Dr. Fetzer? This is the first time I've spoken to you, I'm pretty sure.
I'm very glad you have called in.
Yeah. Some of the things that you've been mentioning, you mentioned Melbourne, and I'm not sure whether you were talking about Melbourne in Australia or in America, but it's been crazy in all over Australia. Like, for instance, I was talking to a person who owns a pizza restaurant. And as you can hear, I'm losing my voice because I've been screaming over the air for quite a while. And what happens is my daughter and I went into a cinema center. And the guy behind the counter, and this was some months ago to start with, and we just had another altercation with him a few days ago. We went into a cinema center and he just came out screaming at us, you know, no, you don't have a mask on. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And I was like, hey, calm down. We just want to go and play some air hockey, you know, and we have to travel quite a ways to get to this particular small city called Wangaratta. And, what happens is he's like, get out. No, get out. You're not wearing a mask. And, what he did is he charged me. He started charging towards me. So I jumped up and down and, because I'm a boxer of 16 and a half years, I jumped up and down. I got into my stance as if to say, don't you come near me and my daughter right now. Because, you know, I'm going to deck ya. And, I thought, this is the Australia that we've become. Once upon a time, it was about mateship. Once upon a time, it was about, you know, love and life and all of that. But now it's just turned into absolute filth. Once upon a time, you know, you could have a bit of a brawl with your mates down the pub or something like that. You know, step outside the love and life for a brief moment and then go about your business. But now it's about, no, you can't come and watch a movie in our cinema center. You can't come in and use the bowling alley or the air hockey or whatever. It's just truly terrible. So I was talking to a gentleman in a pizza store, Dr. Fetzer, and he said, I just don't get it, Sean. I don't get it. I don't understand why. Cinema setter isn't an authority. All he is a person that serves popcorn and tickets and stuff like that. And when I called the local police station, because I said to the cinema center person, I said, hey, call the police, bring them down here. I'll show them my documents that show that I'm exempt for wearing a mask. You know, that my daughter is as well. Call the police. And he would not do it. So I called the police myself and the sergeant, get this doctor, the sergeant himself said, well, you know, if it's his business, well, then you have to obey. So I said, well, then, okay, if I have to obey, then they have to obey the mum and pop stores, you know, the fish and chip stores on the corner. that say, no, you don't have to wear a mask here. But it doesn't work that way. It's a one-sided thing where they say, yeah, all right, you have to obey us. You know, Scorpio, you have to obey us, but we don't have to obey you. It's
just by way of confirmation, and I was mentioning Melbourne, Australia, and Paris and Berlin and others. There have been massive protests, have there not, to all the draconian mandates and the max requirements. I mean, that's not just something that's an illusion on television, but a reality on the ground, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it is truly terrible here. Like, you know, and here's the thing. It's so confusing because you're hearing one side of a story from people that live in Melbourne or near Melbourne, and you're hearing other sides of the story in my neck of the woods, which is up in the Alpines. And literally, like I said to a friend of mine that's been listening to the broadcast for years, I said to him, look, if I go to Melbourne, when I get back, I've got to quarantine for 2 weeks, you know? And he said, no, what was happening was you wouldn't even get into Melbourne. But see, that's the confusing thing. They confuse the heck out of you so you can't live your life. You know, my daughter and I, we have not worn the masks from day one, and we have not gotten the jab, and we refuse to do it. I was just talking to a young lady that
Sean, works hold on. Sean, that's fantastic. Stand by for a second. We've got a caller. Area okay. code 281, are you there? And tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what would you like to bring to the table?
Hey, guys. This is Bruce in Texas. Great to hear y'all on a Saturday afternoon.
Hey, welcome, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. How's it going, man?
It's going good. I just got one thing to throw out there and see what y'all can do with it. That new Supreme Court nominee, that strong black woman that Biden nominated, what's her name? Kajane. Can y'all pronounce it? Ketanji Brown Jackson. Her husband, I read somewhere is Jewish. Have y'all seen any confirmation on that?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I didn't know that, but it fits a pattern, doesn't it? Kind of like Kamala Harris. And again, we're this illusion of diversity. While, you know, we have, you know, essentially the international elf hiding behind the curtain calling the shots, that's less than 2% of the population, yet, you know, somehow they're at the helm of so many different positions. It's really quite stunning once you look into it.
She's only been on the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia for less than a year, and past decisions she's made have been overruled by appellate courts. She does appear to be very partisan. So while my initial impression was probably this wasn't going to be a difficult confirmation, I now am reconsidering and believe there might be good reasons why she should get a tough grilling and even be rejected, which, of course, the Democrats would blame on racism. So this may be a setup to try to make out that Republicans are racist, but I think they've worn that meme to the ground now, and they're not going to get much more mileage out of it, whether it's against Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump or your next Republican governor or senatorial candidate. I don't think they're going to be able to do much about it. But she does go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I'm sorry. Just briefly, I want to give out the call number. So everyone, you know, I want to get lots of calls and let people speak their mind. So it's 703-873-7797. That's 703-873-7797. So, Bruce, did you have another question or comment for, Dr. Fetzer?
I'm going to, yeah, just respond to Dr. Fetzer and one more thing and then I'll get off and let the next person come on. Yeah, it's just amazing how, you know, our country has what, 2% Jews, but the Biden's administration is like at the top, like 70 or 80% Jewish, and we have 90%. A Jewish DOJ, 90%. Yeah, and also in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian, you know, they're going to have Jewish presidents, you know, and, you know, that we put in, that we install. It's just insane. And this, you know, who's Hitler? You know, we're fighting the Nazis, is what Putin says. And, yeah, well, yeah, they're branded Nazis. They're mouth breathers. You know, they're just useful idiots that are being payrolled by the West, at Azov Battalion. And then you have our press, you know, shouting that, oh, Putin's just like Hitler. He's taking over Europe and Oy Vey, you know. And I think it's all wearing thin, all this racism and Hitlerism. It's just over the top, and just people coming tone deaf to it, in my opinion.
Well, a lot of straw man arguments here, exaggerated versions to make it easier to act. Establishes
Jim, you're getting a lot of interference. I don't know from where.
No, it's the new caller. Caller 250, either mute your call, go to headphones, or I'm going to drop you. We don't need your background noise.
Yeah, just mute until we're calling you. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm all with Putin and all of this. I think he's doing exactly the right thing, and he was forced to do it. They were bringing in all this heavy equipment, Javelin anti-tank missiles, for example, which are devastating. Putin, I think, was forced to act, and act now, and he's doing so decisively from everything I can discern. So Scorpio's raising the question of how much of this is the equivalent of a Hollywood production, citing that famous film Wag the Dog. Giuseppe?
Yes. Well, the caller was having technical problems, and we dropped him. So, Sean, what do you think of the Putin invasion of the Ukraine?
I really don't have an opinion either way, because I've been out of the game for a while, as you know, Giuseppe.
Right.
You know, I've been in and out of hospital and everything like that. And when it comes to my hemochromatosis, not just that, I got out of the game for a little bit. I've gotten back into it just recently and started doing the show again. And I wanted to continue just a quick conversation with Dr. Fetzer. Dr. Fetzer, another issue we have here is that the bus drivers and the train drivers, well, not the train drivers, but the train personnel, when you're on a bus or a train, seem to think that they have some form of authority over you as well, to the point where they are just totally rude. And then they wonder why I use bad language. We recently got onto a bus, and like there's been two bus drivers so far that were rude. And I got onto the, we got off the bus at a town called Myrtleford. And I said to him, you know what? You were effing rude. That's what you were. I said, you didn't need to talk to us this way. What he did was he walked up. So we got on the bus, and he walked up onto the bus, and then he said, have you got your mask? Have you got your mask? And I said, no, we're exempt. Thank you. And he goes, oh, everyone seems to be exempt today. And I said straight out, I said, hey, you know, there's no need to be like that. And then once we got off at the at Myrtleford, I said, you know what? You were effing rude. That's what you were. I said, my daughter and I did not need to be treated this way.
Well, bear in mind, mediocrities abound, and if they have the opportunity to assume self-importance by adopting an authoritarian stance, they're going to do it. So what you're encountering is happening commonly all over the world.
Yeah.
Sorry to say, but there it is.
Let me interject a second, gentlemen. There's someone who's trying to call with an anonymous number. We cannot take anonymous calls to join the conversation. So you can stop calling every 10 seconds. I can't add you to the conversation. You have to either have a real number or it's not going to work. And secondly, we're joined by another caller from area code 613. They just left. Huh, that's weird. Okay, well, we had a call and now we don't, so back to it.
Okay, and the two callers that dropped, feel free to call back.
We want you to be heard. So
a point I was trying to make when we went into the break was that from May of 2020 to November of 2020, I had a show called Jim the Conspiracy Guy. And in that interval of time, I did 65 shows. I couldn't afford to maintain the website. It was like $100 a month I didn't have. It wasn't drawing a large audience, but the shows with those I were interviewing and so forth were very, very good. So I moved it all to my blog. So if you go to jamesfetzer.org, just do a search on jimtheconspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows. And if you scroll down, you'll find fairly early on, there's one entitled Pizzagate, the American franchise of Pedalgate, where I go into Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and all this, and lay out the evidence to which I have been alluding. There's also a good one called Fake News Issues of Identity, where I talk about the fake Joe Biden and the fake Hillary Clinton and the fake Michelle Obama, that if you're not aware of all of this form of deception, that's something you want to catch up on. There's a whole lot out there, but I recommend those.
Jim, Scorpio, we now have two calls. Area code 613, tell us your name. And the two callers, you have to go to headphones or mute when you're not on the air because we're hearing that again. But go ahead, 613, your name and where you're calling from. Are you there? Okay, we've got a caller from area code 818. Your name and...
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Amanda from California. I can have a statement and want to get your opinion on this, all of you guys. I know some really, really good people that are still Trump supporters, and I just want to know, what is it going to take to see how truly evil he is? I mean, he has pushed and endorsed a poisonous injection, a.k.a. Operation Warp Speed. He could go on countless interviews praising the death shot and encouraging everyone to take it, you know, under the guise of, well, it's still your choice. You know, you still got a choice, which sounded kind of like, you know, sneaky when he said that. The bottom line is, in my opinion, he is being used like all of these world leaders and these so-called, you know, people of influence and leadership to contribute to the genocide of all human population on this planet. As far as I'm concerned, he has used doubles for years. Like, this guy doesn't even seem like he's even human, like a lot of these people. So this is an importance of the human population. Anyone pushing this death jab is not a friend of humanity. I mean, even like this new social media app that he's coming out with, this is a January 6th repeat. He's leading all of these people into the slaughter once again. They're collecting all of your information, and what they're going to do is what they did in Canada and seize people's bank accounts and do God knows whatever else. Your thoughts on this, guys?
Well, I not only disagree with the words of you here to condemn Trump, but I disagree completely with the spirit. This guy came in and did America first. He made us energy independent. He revived our economy. A situation where the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their prices rise at the highest rate. He secured our borders. Anybody who thinks that he and Biden are comparable really has missed the boat completely. He is flawed. He's a flawed human being, and I regret, as I'm sure he does, much of what he has done in the past under false beliefs about the necessity to lock down the economy, which was a catastrophic development that should never have happened. But I still believe Donald Trump is the one figure who can do more to restore America to normality and some semblance of a decent life than any other political figure in the United States. So I categorically oppose those who run him down the way you have done here for the last several minutes. I disagree, as I say, not only with the words, your language, but with the spirit of your attack on Donald Trump. In my opinion, it's unwarranted, and it's absolutely 100% wrong. if we want to recover. Look, the Democrats are going out of their way to try to trash Trump because they fear him. They know he's going to come back and clean their clock again. They didn't steal the election in 2020 six ways from Sunday because they thought Biden had a prayer. Biden did not have a prayer. This was the greatest theft of election in American history. And I still have a high regard for Donald Trump in spite of the fact that I disagree very strongly with some of his actions.
I can't understand how anybody would support someone that pushes
how do you
pushes a vaccine.
The support of the death jab. I mean, maybe we could go there.
Well, I'd like him to be abandoning it because it's obviously wrong. But Scorpio, look around. I mean, who has the ability to do more to bring us back to a normal state of life than Donald Trump? There's no one else on the scene. I mean, I like DeSantis, but his popularity is like 12% compared to 80% for Trump, even in the Republican Party. 40% of blacks were preparing to vote for Trump, by the way, in the election with Biden because he had done so much to benefit them economically. So I agree he's flawed. We got to get rid of the vax, the jab, and all that, which is all happy horse shit. I couldn't agree more. But Donald Trump is by far the best political figure we have on the scene, and I would like to see him rein in any enthusiasm for warp speed and all that, which was, of course, I agree, all wrong.
Well, can I say something? Can I say something? Can you guys still hear me?
Can you hear Amanda, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Amanda. Go ahead. Follow
up. Okay. I guess, you know, that's fine, Jim, that you feel that way. And, you know, you have you're of course entitled to your opinion, but I can't wrap my head around anyone supporting any public figure that has pushed this death jab on humanity, whatever he's done in the past. This is like the WWE. They are all opponents. You know, they're fighting on film. They're against each other, but behind the scenes, they're shaking each other's hands and patting each other's back. They're all pawns, all of them, every single one of them. And we are the suckers, okay? And they're leading everybody to the slaughter. And I can't even imagine how anyone can see and or not see that anyone pushing this death jab on anyone, that this is a crime against humanity. Bottom line, I don't care what Trump has done in the past. That all has been erased by pushing. Yeah, because he has such a high influence on so many people, that's the scary part. That's the real evil, is that he's going to use that to influence more people. That's where I'm coming from.
We got it, Amanda. You've made it your point very, very clearly. I disagree. I believe Scorpio and Giuseppe would be more receptive, but I am not. I think Trump is the only guy who can actually do it for the American people who still believe in him in spite of his flaws, which are serious. But I think he can do a lot of good for America, and he's not done yet.
Well, Amanda, stay on the line. We have two other callers. Area code 613, are you there?
Yeah, that's me. G'day.
G'day. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
This is G Banker from Down Under in Oz.
Hey, another Aussie. Hey, oh, welcome.
There he is. Bit of an Oz fest today.
Yeah.
A long time listener, first time caller. G'day to Scorpio, Giuseppe, and Jim. And
g'day.
I see a little Mr. Sean Surplus hiding there as well.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate.
What's on your mind, sir? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, the elf.
The elf.
The small hats. See, I don't believe in the white hats. There are plenty of black hats that they're all running with the small hats.
Yeah, the little beanie hats, right.
Yeah, that's the I guess, Dr. Fletcher, that's the only problem I have between you and I. But in all due respect, to be able to discuss it with you. It's the small hats that disturb me, and Mr. Donald Trump is in bed with them. And, I mean, he's had his whole, almost his whole family marry into the Jewish setting, if you will. And yeah. I don't trust any of that. I basically, I mean, I'm happy to discuss it with you at any time. But I don't agree with you on that. I think that as long as you're in bed with that crew, then, you know, as long as he's in bed with that crew, I don't trust him. And he is in bed with them. We can see that his family has intermarried with them and everything like that. So, it's the little hats that, are running. It doesn't make any sense because he says that I want to get rid of this, power in Congress, but the power in Congress are married into his family. So, it's a contradiction in itself, sir.
Well, excellent point, Jim. Hold on. We want to get to all the callers. We've got two more. Area code 517, please tell us your name and where you're calling from and what would you like to discuss?
My name's Denny, and I'm in the People's Republic of Whitmer, Michigan. It's a horrible place. But I was wondering, you know, Trump gets back in there. If he gets back in there, he's going to be arresting people and trying people. That's what I'm looking at. There'll be nothing to stop him, man. He knows how they are. But I was wondering, when Fancy Dancer of Trudeau up there in Canada, when he found Nazi flags and he had to denazify Ontario, he had to get them out of there. They were Nazis. So he went in there and denazified the place. So Putin decides that there's Nazis in Ukraine and he has to denazify it. And everybody gets mad. They should be happy like they were with Trudeau.
That's
the way I think.
It wasn't real in Canada. He wasn't dealing with Nazis.
I know.
Is Putin dealing with Nazis? So there's a rather fundamental dissimilarity there.
I was just thinking they're both going after Nazis.
As a petty tyrant, and he's radicalized the people of Canada, which I think could not have happened under any other circumstances I can imagine.
Well, Jim, hold on.
Canada have dramatically altered their understanding of what goes on in politics in Canada and because of this.
So, excellent point, Jim. We've got another caller, area code, stay on the line, Donnie. Area code 231, please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what would you like to speak about? 231, are you there? Hello, 231, are you there?
Huh. Looks like we lost.
Who shall I call us tonight?
Well,
yes, hello, Giuseppe.
Oh, here we go. Your name,
here we go.
Where are you calling from?
Hello, Giuseppe.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
I can hear you.
Oh, we're having a technical difficulty with that caller. But let's go back to Amanda and let
yes, I'm with
we get that many female callers, so let's let her.
I can barely hear you. I'm on these Android phones. Yeah, Trump,
Amanda dropped off, Scorpio.
Trump won the election.
Go ahead.
Yes, female callers.
Okay, 231.
We could hear you there for a second when you said Trump won the election, and then we lost you. You became very faint.
Yeah, he dropped off, I think. So, okay.
Can I just jump in quick?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That Nazi flag that was prominently displayed in the Canadian trucker rally, guess where the photo was taken? It was taken at a luxury chateau. Hotel where all the cops were staying.
Well, it's easy to you know, infiltrated Reddity nonsense. You know, I mean, it was just bullshit. There's nothing Nazi about these Canadian truckers. They were good, wholesome, 100% Canadians who were actually pursuing freedom and opposing the tyranny of their own government. And they outed Justin Trudeau. Without any question, he has been exposed as a charlatan and a fraud and a weakling and a despicable human being. And I do think the long-term consequences for Canadian awareness have been rather are going to be significant, and it was a stunning revelation. It was like ice water in the face for most Canadians to live through that.
Well, Scorpio, we have four new callers. Hold on, everyone. Stay on the line. First, let's see, Chicago Brew, are you there? You tried to call in. I'm not sure if I got you or not.
Well, it's your one.
Okay, next then we'll go to area code 231. Are you there? 231. Okay, let's try.
Okay, and caller, please mute unless you're talking, okay, because we're getting interference. So, yeah.
Okay, area code 949, are you there? What's your name? And 949, are you there?
Hi. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yes.
Your name and...
Here we go.
This is Jack in California. I've been listening to Dr. James Fetzer so much I start to talk to him. I can't stop. I love the guy. I just wanted to call in and join the conversation.
Wonderful.
Mr. Fetzer, they say that that's the largest flattery, but I must say I try to impress you or so I make impressions of you just for my own delight. But I just wanted to call in, sir, and say that, you know, all these Americans have guns. When are they going to use them?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, this whole Remington thing has been a bit of chicanery. They found a new angle to try to deprive us of our right to keep and bear arms by means of insurance. Now, they got a leverage in the courts in Connecticut, which may be the most corrupt state in the union, by claiming that the way in which Remington was advertising their weapons was violative of practices that were deemed responsible, and therefore they were entitled to bring a lawsuit. Now, this was brought by 9 of the Sandy Hook survivors, meaning families led by one Donna Soto against Remington. But they've never addressed the question of whether there was a basic cause for all of this, whether anyone had actually been killed by an AR-15 in Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012. So I sought to interview to ask that we go back and review the bidding to determine whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. And would you believe, not only did the parents object, which did not surprise me, but so did Remington. It appears Remington has been purchased by a Cibras Capital, and that Cibras wants to go with an insurance scheme so that they're promoting this massive settlement of $73 million so that no one is going to miss the concept of insurance related to weapons, because the new round is going to be you have to have insurance for your weapon. To have insurance for your weapon, you have to register your weapon. Once you register your weapon, the government knows where can confiscate your weapon, such that Dave Hodges has observed there were 19 democides during the last century, which were slaughters of whole societies by their own governments, all of which were preceded by gun confiscation. We can't let that happen. Here, let me make a couple of additional points. The lead plaintiff, Donna Soto, who's supposed to be the mother of Victoria Soto, is the same crisis actor who played the role of Susan
Doe. Can I leave a message?
Is the mother of
Heather. Stand by, callers. Stand by until Chip's finished.
They are one and the same person.
Well, it's not important. I just want to tell you the
word. My case of Sandy Hook to the United States Supreme Court, and with the help of you, I have the law on my side. I have the evidence on my side. What I don't have is the money. I need help from the American people because I'm in a unique position to blow this case open and show Sandy Hook was a fraud and to expose the corruption of the courts. If you check out givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer, you can see what it's all about in detail. And I would be grateful for your support because we're up against it. This is for all the marbles.
givesendgo.com.
Well, a follow-up real quick, Mr. Fetzer, is no, have no, you hey, lobbied hey, the Jeff, gun manufacturers
stand by,
to help
by.
You?
Hey, stand by. We have four other callers. Stand
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Area code 416. Are you there? 416, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello. What's your name? Are you 416?
I'm calling. I'm not 416. I'm calling from Montreal. I just wanted to help you out there with that word you were looking for. You wanted something stronger than hypocrisy, and I would suggest perfidy. P-E-R-F-I-D-Y.
Oh, okay. Perfidy. There you go.
Perfidy.
All right. And I congratulate all of you on the work you're doing. Wonderful work. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Goodbye.
Oh, thanks great. A linguist. That's now, an excellent that, word. Yeah, yeah.
That last caller suggested why the gun manufacturers ought to be standing with me, but they are not. And the little guys, I think, for the little guys, it's been said to me that I am like kryptonite, you know, that they fear association with a Sandy Hook skeptic because I'm so notorious for having, been sued over Sandy Hook after the book was banned. But the fact is that what I did was bring together experts on different aspects of the case to blow it apart, 13 contributors, including 6 PhDs. We established a school had been closed by 2008. There were no students or teachers there. It was a two-day FEMA exercise presented as mass murder to promote gun control. It was all paved the way by Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, who actually met with Governor Malloy about 4 weeks before, actually on the 27th of November, to explain what they had in mind, so that when the governor held his press conference, he explained he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to that something like this might happen. What could he have possibly mean that somebody told him that someone might go nuts and come into a public school in Connecticut and shoot up a bunch of kids? If that's what he was told, then he had the obligation to instruct the school system to take additional measures of security, which he did not do. What he
Jim, we got a bunch more callers that want to talk to.
They were going to take an abandoned school and conduct a drill and present it as mass murder, which is exactly what they.
Okay, area code 949. Are you there?
Yeah, that's Jack. I already performed.
Okay, stand by, Jack. Stand by. We'll get
you
again. We'll get you again. Area code 864. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, this is Blitzer One. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm nervous to be in such esteemed company. My God.
Hey, oh, thank you.
You're kidding, man. Dave, I appreciate all the great phrases you come up with off the cuff. I love it. I'm very sad for you, Sean, and your daughter, man. I feel very terrible about what's going on down there. I feel that in your voice. It's terrible. But we could jump into anything right now. My God. Forrest, now, I'll say a few things, and I'll let it go. Very busy, I know. As far as Trump goes, I've been watching him for many years, and he's one of these guys. He gives you enough rope to hang yourself. He's done that with everyone all his career. That's just how he operates. What he's up to, nobody really knows. And the Second Amendment, of course, was inserted, as the rebel madman knows, barely. But it was designed, of course, for civilians to protect themselves against the government, not criminals or hunting necessarily or just for shooting a heavily armed population in the world.
Can I interrupt for a second? Are you from North Carolina or South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Oh, there we go. Yep. I recognize the accent. I've got to say, when you're talking.
Well, hey.
Very sorry?
Good. That's very good.
Yeah, yeah. I've traveled all over the United States, so I know the accents. Well, what happens is when it comes to the Second Amendment, you know, it's weird over here in Australia. We can be permitted to have guns. A lot of people in the United States think that over here in Australia, we can't have guns. No, we can. There's like five permits that you can have. Of course, you know, that you go from the lowest to the highest. But what happens is they've got this saying over here within the Constitution now, which says there is no excuse for self-defense with a firearm. But yet, in one part of Australia, you'll find this interesting, I'm sure. I'll be quick. But in one part of Australia, they say you can't have a crossbow. You can have a compound bow. But then on the other side of the fence, you can have something to the magnitude of the T-Rex firearm. I forget the name of it. I always forget the name of it. And they say straight out, you can have it because it's a non-caliber. And I said, well, what's a non-caliber? They said, well, it's non-caliber in that there's no production.
Okay, Sean, hold it right there. Excellent point. We've got two more callers. Chicago Brew, the Rev Radio host, Wednesday, 6 p.m., Studio A Eastern. Brew, what's on your mind?
A lot. Reflecting on some of these calls, you know, it's funny about the no defense. You can't use your firearm for no offense. If you guys recall from in the United States from like 2017 all the way through 2019 when they were trying to shut down dojos and martial arts studios and saying your children, they were trying to close all these down so children wouldn't learn self-defense and offensive measures and so on and so forth. So they were trying to shut down anything and everything that would keep somebody physically active or to be able to defend themselves, boxing, martial arts, anything of the sort. So it's not just firearms in general. I don't know. There's so much on my mind. You guys got so many good callers. But reflection of the Trudeau thing, well, Jim took it a little more literal. You know, Trudeau, we know they weren't Nazis there, but just the narrative. They could say, oh, we're fighting Nazis over there in Canada. Oh, let's celebrate, but they're fighting Nazis over there. And, you know, Putin's fighting Nazi. Oh, my gosh, he's a demon. He's hurting these people. But I don't know. Go ahead. I lost all my train of thought. So many calls.
Okay, stand by, Brew. Next caller.
Everybody's fighting Nazis. Some of them are good guys and some of them are bad guys. It's wearing thin for sure.
I know the next caller has a strong opinion. Welcome, Paul from California.
Oh, my God.
Paul, are you there? Are you there, Paul?
He's there.
Oh, no, not him. Okay,
it's cutting in and out. Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Yes.
Go ahead, Paul.
I don't hear anything. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
We hear you, Paul. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Paul? We hear you.
Yeah, I was listening, and Brew's call was cutting in or out, so I thought he had problems. So just quickly, I just weigh in real fast. There's two things I'm going to recommend everybody listening do, and that's one, watch this Frontline documentary called Boeing's Fatal Flaw. I just watched it the other night on YouTube. It's about the 737 MAX and the problems they had with it. And keep that in perspective with what's going on with the vaccines. But it's really excellently done, in my opinion. And it'll just give you a really nice juxtaposition of what it is we're looking at. Secondly, I would highly recommend people watch Sean Hannity last night. The only reason I saw it, I was at a friend's house. He's got Fox on quite a bit, so I was watching it. And it's the most nauseating display you've ever seen. First of all, they had that faggot Ron DeSantis on from Florida. They had that faggot Greg Abbott from Texas. They had a bunch of other so-called red state governors. And you could listen for yourself and hear Ron DeSantis talk about how he was instrumental in getting all sorts of vaccines to Florida seniors and how it was Trump. It was him that marshaled all the resources and got the vaccine manufacturers to do something they never would have done on their own, pimping the vaccine right and left. That's all this is about, okay? And I would say to anybody who still believes in Trump, I can't express enough contempt. I'm not going to. But here's the question I would pose to
you
or anybody else.
If you knew for a fact that Trump faked the vaccine. He said he got it, right? And I think he said he got his booster or something like that. If you knew for a fact that he was telling a lie, okay, which I don't, but I believe he is, what would your opinion of Trump be then? See, in my opinion, any politician that fakes getting a vaccine or tells a lie about getting it should be decapitated. There is no voting our way out of this shit. Anybody that thinks that politics is an answer is a child, in my opinion. I got more, but I'll stop now. I get pissed when I hear this pussy bullshit. Amanda, you're exactly correct.
Right. I totally agree with you. We're on the same page.
Love it. Look.
I'll jump in there. Let's jump in there. So, let me jump in.
To have a flawed champion, no champion. You wipe up off of Republicans don't have anyone to man the ramparts. It's just a blunder from the point of view of practical politics.
Okay, Jim, hold on a second.
At an idealistic level, I could agree with you and Amanda on a lot of issues, but as a matter of practical politics, it's the opposite policy staring you in the sand.
Well, is Amanda, did she come back? Amanda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got dropped off, Giuseppe, and I could not agree with Paul more. I mean, that is exactly what's going on. And another thing that's happening, Trump is part of a lot of trafficking also. He's very connected to Epstein. And if the people can't see that, I just don't know what else to say. You guys were going to have – hold on. Let me – can I finish? I want to say
– Yeah, go ahead, Amanda. Finish.
So, you guys – well, hold on. Jim keeps talking over me, and I don't, you know, I don't want us talking over each other. Jerry Springer episode.
Go ahead, Amanda. But, Jim, let her finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say, you guys were going to have, this is like kind of a different subject, but Trump is connected to a lot of evil things like sex trafficking and Epstein. But what I was going to say, you guys were going to have a guest a while ago, Stephen D. Kelly. He talks about the Getty Center. And since Jim does a lot of investigative work, which I respect, I would look into what's happening at the Getty Center and all these underground tunnels and the underground system that's trafficking children. I mean, you guys might know this, but the statistic of 1 million children are missing every single year.
Yes.
And no one's batting an eyelash over it. Now, where's the outrage about that?
That is a great
point. Where are they all going?
Right. Yeah, the Getty Center. I've looked into that. We should. Whatever happened to that guy? We were going to have Stephen Kelly on, and then it didn't happen.
Oh, we were to, if you recall.
Oh, that's right. We weren't allowed to. Yeah, yeah. He's on the Forbidden Rev Radio.
I actually went to the Getty Center when I was in L.A.
Really? What'd you see, Sean?
Stuff like that. I've actually got video, but I should send it to you guys. I also went to the sister Getty Center, if you will, and not the little trams that travel from one part to the other. Yeah, used to mum. It was quite fascinating to see the list. And one of the things I noticed about the Getty Center is that they're obsessed with penises. And almost every statue had a little penis hanging out of it. And you know, I was showing my daughter that she's old enough, you know, she's 16 now. And I said, have a look at this crap. Why are they so obsessed with penises? Like little boys with their penis hanging out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you guys should do a show about the Getty Center and what's going on underneath the Getty Center and try to get Stephen D. Kelly back because he's the one guy that really knows a lot about it. No one is talking about this.
Oh, wow.
Occupy the Getty.
Interesting.
And this entire planet, this is the hidden secret, the trafficking. The human, you know, what's going on with the children.
Right.
The adrenochrome and everything is all connected. And, you know, we could all talk about Trump and how evil he is, but really this is the big thing. This is the big secret.
Good point.
Look, I like
By the way, if I may, I want to clarify that I am not a Trump fan. I was just pointing out that's what the dude said. I'm sorry. I had it more
sure,
than
sure.
A Trump
right, right.
Fan.
I seem to be a majority here. You can't argue if you don't have any champions. He's the best we got, and he's flawed, but he's the best we got by far. He can make a difference and do a lot of good And this topic drop in with sex trafficking is complete rubbish. 100% rubbish. I reject
that. Oh, he is, Jim. He's also a reptilian. Trump is a reptilian. He's not even human.
Get out of here.
He's not even human. He's not even human. Sir, that guy said that he wasn't a Trump fan. Come on, dude. You know you wear a Trump hat. You know you wear Make America Great. You know you do. Stop it. Stop lying, sir.
You're right there, Amanda. You're right there.
Well, does Paul want to have a parting word? We've only got a couple of minutes left. Paul, do you have a parting word?
Paul, still there?
Look, Scorpio, when we only have a few words, I need to carry this to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I would sure like it if you could go to givesandgo.com/fundingfactor. I lay out the whole case, see if you decide I'm fine for the First and the Second Amendment. I have the resources, the law, and the evidence, but I need the money. I'm doing it myself. But I have lawyers who expect to be paid. There are fees involved. You have to fit up all these writs of certiorari for the Supreme Court all by itself at $5,000. If anyone out there cares about the First and Second Amendment, I am in a unique position to do something about it. Please consider. And I'm so happy with Scorpio and all the callers, even when we disagree. I'm a great champion of freedom of speech, which exists to protect unpopular speech, to protect every opinion. And I say, let them all bloom. Rational debate is to sort out the truth, as Sir Karl Popper recommended, and he was spot on, absolutely. So I welcome it all.
Well, thanks, Jim, and thanks for all
your work. There are some paths that you can go to that you'll never convince people of anything, period. And I tend not to get down those rabbit holes with people because it's nothing but a waste of energy and time. So one way or the other, there's no point in wasting this valuable energy and time on it, really. There's no spilling too much energy.
That's right, Trump lover. Trump lover.
Excuse me, are you talking to me?
Yes, right.
You don't know anything about me.
Let it out, sir. Let it out, sir. Take off your MAGA hat.
That's funny. You're very. Can I ask a quick question?
Well, no, we're down to the last minute, so really, it's, I don't think we have time.
No more questions, sir. Let them end the show.
They have the voices from down under.
Right.
I'm just wondering, to you guys, what percentage of the vaccine do you think is a placebo?
The first round was at least 50%. The boosters aren't placebo.
Dual vector.
Great.
Good with you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. God bless everybody.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. It was a pleasure.
And late.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's IP thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I am. Seems such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.